Производство студии «Скрытые лица». HiddenFaces.ru.
Anyway, so yeah, let's get into it, man. Regulation Podcast. Happy you have today's Kamas called Kyle Hines on again.
What's up, everybody? Happy to be back again.
Kind of a friend of a friend of the pod now.
Yeah.
Already, but the reason we gathered here today let's get right into it, the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Last night, of course, Kyle from the area. Mm-hmm. Lifetime Eagles fan, right?
Yes, of course.
So just tell me about the game. How was the experience of watching the game here? Who were you watching with? Did you watch at home? You went watch it with somebody out?
I watched it at home. I didn't want to watch it with anybody. I didn't want to go out. I actually just wanted to sit down and watch the game because, I was kind of nervous because it was, the team that I cheered for, my team was in the Super Bowl. It'd be different, other Super Bowls past. It was more or less like just trying to enjoy the atmosphere of being in the Super Bowl. But this time it was like, I felt like
you
I was in
personally.
Yeah,
invested.
I was invested in it. So I just didn't want to. I just wanted to sit there and watch. And my wife was calling me on FaceTime, and I was yelling at her. I was like, "I'll call you back." Different people were calling me. I didn't answer my phone for the whole entire time that I watched the game. So I was just in there, really focused on every play, like I was actually playing in the game.
And you probably followed the whole playoff run,
yeah,
right? You watched every game.
Yeah. I watched. I had opportunity to watch. Majority of all the games.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So just you at home, no social media or just after the game, right?
After the game a little bit. I was looking on social media a little bit because I think one of the Patriots players got knocked out early of the game. So I was just looking at social media to see like reports and different things like that. But just to kind of see what people were saying. But generally, I was just locked in the game.
Yeah, no, I mean, you yourself, you didn't post anything until they won, right?
Yeah,
I saw an IG post today.
I post like stuff on like little stuff on my feed, about my dad was, my dad has been wearing the same Eagle jersey for the last 3 days. So he's been super excited. And, my wife and my mother-in-law and my daughter and my son, she had them all dressed up in Eagles gear. So everybody was excited. So I post some of that stuff. But other than that, right, once it was game time, I was locked in. I wasn't talking to anybody.
Pretty good game.
Yeah, it was. People were saying it's one of the most. Yeah, one of the most entertaining.
I wouldn't put it up there with last year because last year comeback was crazy. Yeah, like something we really never. But it was a really good game. Like Eagles had the lead. You never actually doubted like the Patriots can come back. You thought they'd be there. And here you go, fourth quarter, five-point lead. Tom Brady has the ball.
Yeah,
what everybody has in mind is, the Eagles are done here.
I was actually upset. I felt like they put, they left too much time on the clock because usually with, 2 minutes left in the game and, Tom Brady is driving down the field, you almost kind of just put your hands up like you already know what's going to happen. Like you've seen the end of this movie before. So, but everybody was saying before, all the analysts and everybody, they were saying like the game was going to be a back and forth game and it's going to come down to probably one play in the fourth quarter. That's probably going to make the difference. And, that's exactly what happened. It was that one play where Brandon Graham got the fumble on Tom Brady.
That fumble, it was such a disbelief from everybody. Like everybody was shocked.
Yeah.
That just really happened.
Yeah, because it was the only sack of the game. Only time that he felt pressure, inside the pocket. So it was definitely something I was on eggshells at that time because I thought Tom Brady was going to drive down the field, but for him to fumble the ball and we take the ball, it was like, wow, like this could really possibly happen. Like the dream of what everybody's been hoping for can possibly occur.
And even from there, the field goal and the 8-point lead, you're still not sure at all.
No.
Yeah, this guy has a minute left now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's known to make miracles. So even still, like, he's the type of player that you always expect them to do something until the game's over, like until the clock is zero. He always has a window of opportunity.
Yeah, such a crazy win. Just because they beat the Patriots. Well, like, we discussed at the previous podcast when my co-host was not here today. You know, I compared the past. Everybody compares them to the Spurs, like being in the NBA. Yeah. You know, Belichick is Popovich, and Brady is Tim Duncan.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it really is like a dynasty.
Yeah.
There's no less. They're always in the playoffs. They're always there.
Yeah. I mean, they're special. I mean, especially in football, it's definitely difficult to do the things that they've done and have such a longer streak as they've had. So I mean, it was special for, you know, for my city and, you know, for the people back home and all the people that were fans of the Eagles to kind of witness that moment.
Yeah, it was really great. Did you see Kevin Hart trying to get
drunk,
trying to get on the stage, on the podium, trying to get his hands on the trophy or whatever.
He was super super drunk, and then security
was not having
it. No, not at all. I think he made a post on Instagram. He was like, "Kevin, we know who you are, but you're not getting up there." And he still was trying to persuade his way up there. So it was kind of funny.
That's a funny thing. I follow this. This Twitter profile of like the God tweets, like it was called Tweet of God.
Yeah.
And there was this tweet like, ha 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 ha, and the picture with Tom Brady and Donald Trump. No. you know, karma's a bitch.
Yeah, I mean, that's what, well, I think that's also like why a lot of people were necessarily like happy the Eagles won. They were saying that the Eagles were like for the culture. You know, their whole rallying cry was like Meek Mill and, you know, this song coming
free
out.
Free Meek Mill,
The free Meek Mill. And, you know, the Patriots are more like, you know, the Republican.
The
establishment team. So that's why a lot of people, you know, were cheering for the Eagles and happy that they won because they were the underdog. And, the, you know, like I said, the culture, everybody said this win was for the culture. So
do you have that Patriot hater bone in you? Do you?
No, I mean, actually, I respect the Patriots because, you know, being a fellow athlete, to kind of see the things that they've done, the way, you know, the amount of championships they accomplish is unreal. And I'm a fan I respect Tom Brady. I'm a fan of Tom Brady because, you know, to be able to witness a legend, you know, somebody that's one of the greatest of all time in their sport, I mean, it's something special. So, you know, every time he plays, you know, I like to kind of just watch him and just kind of see the different things he does.
Yeah, sure. But then there's the cheating, the UGG commercials and all the
other stuff.
All the whole plot goes around.
Deflate Gate and all that stuff. But I mean, it was like I said. I mean, I respect them for what they do and their ability to be there every year after year.
Yeah, just to think the guy is 40 years old.
He's 40 years old and MVP.
That too. Even though, like, we know, like, QBs in the NFL, it sometimes play longer than the other positions, but still, like, being a 40.
Yeah, I mean, to be 40 and still dominant, you know, at that age and to be MVP at 40, I mean, that's, you know.
You think he's coming back next year? Probably
for sure. Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's coming back off an MVP season, and he just lost, too. So, I mean, I think he's even more inspired to come back.
He didn't look like Peyton Manning out there. Like, you could see, like, Peyton Manning last year, he won the Super Bowl with Denver. It wasn't him.
No, not at all. He was like a shell, of himself. Yeah, but Tom Brady, he still looked dominant. I mean, he had 500 and some odd yards yesterday or something like that, which is unheard of.
Yeah, so. I bet he was. He had nightmares of that turnover this whole night.
I'm sure that he. You know, I mean, that's one of the bad things. You know, in those type of games, and in a game where it's a final, it's one game. There's always probably one play, one or two plays that defines the game. And unfortunately for him, you know, he probably had two of the defining plays. The one where he had to catch, and he could have caught the ball, which, you know, probably would have been like, you know, a momentum shift, and then obviously the fumble. Yeah. So
anyway, for us fans, like the last few years, Super Bowls have been fire, man. Like all the Super Bowls have been going down to the last play and stuff.
Yeah, which is kind of I guess you could say it's kind of. It's kind of, I guess, different that they capped off the season that well because the season has so much controversy, you know, with the whole kneeling of the, you know, the national anthem, and there's a lot of star players that are, you know, been injured, and people have been saying that the viewership has been down in football and the whole concussion thing. Yeah. So to, you know, to end the game, like you said, the Super Bowls have been amazing over the past like three, four years, and there's been some classic Super Bowls. Yeah. So
kind of makes you think of. If it's fixed or something like that.
I don't know. I think it's hard to fix football. I don't know. No. Maybe it's just
but
you know.
Somebody would.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody
obviously
would.
I mean, there's money involved.
Anyway, let's get to some NBA as well, just a little bit. Did you hear, like, again, we missed Saturday. We usually record our podcast on Saturday. We didn't do it this last Saturday, so we didn't talk about this crazy rumor about LeBron joining the Warriors. Did you hear that? What do you think about that?
I think that's somebody's agent or some reporter just making nonsense or making a rumor out of nowhere. I don't think it's possible for the...
You don't think there's any ground to it?
I don't think it's not possible. I think for them, it had to be a lot of unusual measures. A lot of people have to take pay cuts, and a lot of people have to, drop down in salary, and they have to trade certain players. And I just can't see why the Warriors would do that. You know, if they have the best team in the NBA, then why would you mess that? Why would you, don't try to fix something if it's not broken?
So yeah, a lot of people, and I can understand them, I'll stop watching the league at that moment. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, that's like a video game trade. So I doubt it. I doubt it would happen, but,
They already have 4 All-Stars. You want to have a 5 All-Star starting lineup?
Yeah, basically have 5 All-Stars and this 5 bench players, 5 guys off the street.
But everything that's been going on with Cleveland lately, what has led to this rumor. Because if, had they played okay now, had everything been fine, there would be no rumors probably. And now we got the trade deadline coming up.
Thursday, I think.
They haven't made a move yet.
Yeah.
And everybody expects them to make some type of a move. What do you think should they do?
I think a lot of their problems stems from just chemistry. They have a lot of new players, and I feel like a lot of, you can see a lot of guys mentioned, they don't really trust each other. There's not really a whole lot of chemistry inside the locker room and outside the locker room. It looks like the guys just don't enjoy playing with each other.
Yeah.
So that's what it really looks like to me. It looks like guys just aren't motivated. And I think maybe with the whole looming LeBron free agency is maybe hanging a cloud over the organization, because, the organization is afraid to make a move because they don't necessarily know what's going to happen with LeBron next year. So I think that also, and I think this maybe, and I think maybe the Isaiah Thomas trade didn't necessarily turn out the way they wanted to right away. I think they thought maybe he would play better right away, but the guy's been out for almost 9 months, so you can't necessarily think he's going to come out right away and be what he was last year. But I think that kind of hurt him a little bit too. But I think obviously for the trade deadline, I think they need to get some type of influx of scoring. Yeah. I think they missed that because Kyrie, I think, even though LeBron got all the headlines and all the press, Kyrie is a damn good player. And I think he was the one that really kind of made the difference maker. Even when they won the finals, he was the one that hit a lot of the big shots.
Yeah, sure.
So I think they need to find somebody, maybe like a Lou Williams or a Jordan Clarkson or somebody like that that's kind of like a scorer that can kind of bring some energy off the bench. A lot of people were saying DeAndre Jordan. I don't really see why that trade will necessarily matter. We play in a day and age where, having a center, having a center in the NBA really doesn't necessarily matter. So I don't see how that would kind of help him against a team like the Warriors or even a team like the Celtics, who was able to, kind of play spread out. So I think, they need a scorer. And I think, I would say like either Lou Williams or Jordan Clarkson or somebody like that. My opinion.
And Lou, from what I hear, Lou is available.
Yeah.
I just don't know if they can get together a trade that would satisfy the Clippers and could they give Clippers. Would you say Isaiah is not safe now? Would that be too crazy to think that they would trade him right away?
I think for his sake, I hope he doesn't get traded. I think, because I think that would be, maybe detrimental to his, to his thought process, to his mental, being traded to 3 teams. But it also sucks for him because he's a free agent at the end of the year, so he has an expiring contract. So a lot of, his contract maybe is more attractive to, a team like the Clippers, who's just, looking to use him for a year or whatever. But I don't know. I think anybody besides LeBron and maybe D Wade and Kevin Love, I think everybody else is possible.
Yeah, but it's
possible.
Been so horrible lately. Like the other day, I turned on the fourth quarter, the Houston game.
Oh, that was a bad game.
Houston played at Cleveland.
Yeah.
And I see 30 plus.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a disappointing game. Cause I was excited about that game. I was going to try to watch it the next day.
Yeah, I was hoping for a good fourth quarter. I was asleep at night and watching fourth quarters in the morning.
Yeah.
That's what I do now.
Yeah.
You know, it's garbage time already.
Yeah, it was pretty bad basketball to watch.
And I kind of didn't hope for anything good. Mm-hmm. Even I was kind of, you know, certain of that outcome.
Yeah,
the way they've been playing.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was hoping that they played well, but I think, you know, right now it's just that I don't know if it's just because of the All-Star break. I think a lot of teams and a lot of guys are looking forward to the All-Star break, that week off where they can all go to Cabo or wherever and just have some time on the beach, mm-hmm. and, you know, kind of get away from the game, or I don't know. But it is kind of strange that, like, LeBron James, he finished that game with 11 points. Yeah. I'm like, LeBron James can get 11 points in his sleep. He can get 11 points by accident if he really wants to. So that's why I feel like there's something more going on than just the team just playing bad.
And then there was a game where he had just one assist.
Yeah.
And his shooting has been down too. Like, his threes and his free throws. I have him on my fantasy team, so mm-hmm. I'm hurting, really.
Yeah.
like, my free throw percentage has been awful lately. Mm-hmm. And he started okay. He started around 80%. Yeah. Everybody was like, oh, look at LeBron shooting threes, like, around 50, and shooting free throws around 80. Like, look at this, and look at where we are now.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and I mean, just him, I don't know if it's just, like, it seems like his mentality has changed a little bit to me. Because you can see it, he posts more on social media, he's a little more candid with the media. You know, before, like, he was, he was an engaging person, but he wasn't as open, I think, as he is now. So
it's crazy to me how this all emotional, like, connected to his, like, emotions and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's the age we live in now.
It's pretty crazy. Yeah. Anyway, we had some trades. We had a big one.
Yeah.
Blake going from the Clippers to Detroit.
Yeah.
Seems like it worked out. The Pistons won a couple of games since then. Blake seems to have been, you know, integrated in their system pretty fine. Though it's kind of crazy to me, he went from playing with DeAndre to playing with Andre.
Andre, yeah.
Kind of similar, right?
Similar players. I think a lot of people would say Andre Drummond maybe has a little bit more offensive skills than DeAndre.
Yeah, probably.
But, I mean, the thing that got me was that the fact that he had to go from living in Malibu in L.A. to to living in Detroit. I was like, that has to be...
That is the winner.
Yeah, that has to be a total adjustment. You know, living in L.A. for the past 9 years and partying with the Kardashians and all this different stuff, and now you're just living in downtown Detroit. Not to say Detroit is bad, but it's just, you know, this is a totally different...
He'll still be there in the off season.
Yeah, but this is a totally different, you know, atmosphere for him. So, but... Yeah, I mean, I think also him being on the Eastern Conference is a benefit to him, because the Western Conference was so loaded that the Eastern Conference team, he has the opportunity to go to the playoffs and possibly play far. And like you said, he's matched up with a complimentary player in Andre Drummond.
Yeah, so DeAndre is the only one left with the Clippers now from the old guard of the Clippers.
Which is crazy, right? Like, it's crazy because, remember, was it 3 years ago when he signed to Dallas and then they all came to his house and, like, locked him in and they were like, you're not going anywhere. And then 2 years later, how everything changes. Now he's the only one left because he's the one that signed that long-term contract.
Yeah, that was crazy too, with everybody tweeting out emojis.
Yeah.
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 Then we had Mirotić. He went from the Bulls to the Hornets, who needed somebody after, you know, Boogie went down.
Yeah.
Now Mirotić is a pretty good player. You know, he had the situation with the Bulls with the... it's kind of funny thing too with the... what's his name? Bobby Portis.
Yeah.
What you think about that? What do you think about the Hornets? Do you think they can still make the playoffs, remain at that top eight?
I mean, they have Anthony Davis, who's an unbelievable player, and it seems like he's been carrying him, throughout the whole entire season. I think the Mirotić trade definitely helps him out a lot. Even though Boogie Cousins is the type of player that you're not necessarily going to replace, but I think it helps him out a little bit, just for the fact that Mirotić has been playing really well. He's a really skilled player. He can, you know, play the four. He can spread the floor. So I think it's definitely, a good pick. So I think they can remain in the West. I mean, who knows? The West is a top league. There's so many different teams that, you know, if you have a bad week or a bad, you know, stretch, you can be, you know, from the 8th seed all the way down to the 11th or 12th seed. So we'll see.
Yeah, I just mentioned the Miritich and Bobby Portis situation,
mm-hmm.
and we've also been discussing this, that there's been a lot of, like, you know, almost fights in the NBA recently.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like the atmosphere has been,
yeah.
And we kind of linked that to, you know, to maybe KD turning from you know, from a good guy to a villain, to a bad guy.
Everybody's the what do you call it in wrestling, the heel now, the bad guy.
Yeah, yeah. He's been teed up lately a lot, like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And thrown out in the game sometimes.
Yeah.
He got into it with Boogie, yeah. by the way, yeah. we just discussed, and there's been a few like dust ups recently. Seems like it's more than what it used to be, like in the recent times. And everybody's like, the 90s coming back. The 90s coming back now.
If you look, I was watching it the other day. There was like a clip of like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. This is like whatever, in the 80s or whatever. Yeah. But there was a clip where I think, you know, somebody elbowed him in the face and he kind of stuttered back. And then he literally threw a punch at this guy. And they were on the court fighting, and then nobody got kicked out of the game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it was like, I think NBA fights, I think Popovich called it, Greg Popovich from the Spurs, I think he called it like the biggest fake thing you ever can possibly see, because you know, a lot of guys are just like, you know, they'll get into each other's face, and they'll just be waiting for a guy to come like, hold me back, yeah. knowing darn well they're not going to fight. So I think that's really what it is. I think a lot of guys know that they're not really going to fight, so I think a lot of guys want to, you know, act like they're, you know, possibly tough and just be bigger than what they are, but it's really nothing.
Yeah, that's what Jalen Rose calls it, yeah. The hold me back,
yeah,
moment.
Exactly. That's really
hold
it is.
Me back.
It's like you push somebody and you wait for your teammates to come hold you back, and then you try to act like it's something, but it's really not nothing, because at the end of the day, all the players know each other.
Uh-huh.
They all know each other. They all either played against each other, played with each other at some point. They all know the locker rooms. They all know the hotel. So if it was really, yeah, about something, really a fight, you would possibly see it. So that's why you know it's really not about anything.
Yeah, remember there was this time like Melo and KG,
yeah,
got,
yeah,
into,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody was waiting. Somebody,
yeah,
at the,
yeah,
bus.
Yeah. See,
your wife tastes like honey,
yeah,
nut Cheerios.
That's what you know is serious. Like that type of thing. That's how you know it's a serious situation. But if until something like that, then
because KG don't care. I don't think.
Nah, I think he doesn't. He's from, he, like you said, he's from the old school though.
He's crazy.
He's an old school Chicago guy, so he doesn't. He has no filter.
So. We talked about trash talking,
yeah.
So my question is, what was the situation with this in the EuroLeague in Europe? Like, have you ever gotten into, or have you ever been on the floor where a fight broke out, or where somebody's been punched, or so what was the closest it got to it, or
I mean,
is it totally different? And what's the EuroLeague's policy? Do a lot of guys get teed up?
I think it's such a fine line that, you know, the referees will tee you up before you even necessarily get, mm-hmm, you know, get to that moment,
mm-hmm,
or get thrown out the game, you know, before you even get to that moment. So I mean, there's not, you see very, very rare occurrences of guys really getting into each other's faces or, mm-hmm, fighting or anything, mm-hmm, like that. And in the same token, I mean, a lot of the guys that have played in EuroLeague, because EuroLeague is only a 16-team league,
mm-hmm,
so a lot of the guys that played in EuroLeague, everybody knows each other.
Yeah.
And if they haven't, you know, if they haven't played against each other in EuroLeague, they played against each other in some national team or something like that. So there's not necessarily any, like, you know, necessarily big, you know, fights or anything.
Nothing
like that.
You can't remember. You've never.
I mean, only thing I can remember is back in when I was in Olympiacos in 2012, 2013.
Mm-hmm.
My teammate AC Law got into a fight with Romain Sato.
Right, I think
Romain Sato.
Him.
Yeah, yeah. Just he played for Panathinaikos and he played for somebody else at the time, but he got, mm-hmm, into a big, like, it was almost like a, it wasn't really a skirmish, but he did something to him and flipped him on the ground, and then AC tried to jump at him, and it was kind of bigger than what it really, you know, really looked, mm-hmm, like, but, mm-hmm, it was one of, like, almost like those NBA, like, kind,
right,
of, like, you know, type of moments, even though AC was really tight at him, but it wasn't like, it wasn't going to be like any, you know, big fight. That's probably the only one I can remember. I can't really, uh-huh, remember anything else.
Nothing over in Russia?
I don't think anything over in Russia. I can't remember. Everybody's been really diplomatic, I guess, mm, you could say. Like, mm, nobody's really, you know,
mm-hmm,
I don't even think people really trash talk like that. Like,
so,
really.
It's much less of that. There's much less of that in,
yeah,
Europe,
yeah,
in Europe, and in Russia,
yeah,
than in the NBA.
Yeah, in my experience, yeah, I haven't really necessarily, mm, you know, felt that to the most part.
But it's certainly fan friendly. You can't say like fans love it.
No, fans like it. Fans love. I mean, no matter what people say, fans like fighting. They like combats. They like they like this stuff. Always goes back all the way back to the days of the gladiators and all this stuff. Like fans like this. They like
as long as we don't get to like you know Malice in the Palace.
Yeah. As long as we do like
levels
like
of it. It's fine.
Some fans probably wouldn't even mind that. Some fans might like that.
Exactly. And let's get into the. I wanted to get into the All-Star Weekend a little bit. Do you even watch the All-Star Weekend? What are you? What's your take on the All-Star Weekend and the game?
I watch it because it's entertainment. You know, I think it's just the NBA has done a really good job of making the entire week almost an entertaining week. You know, with the dunk contest, the skills contest, and over the past, I would say maybe 5 or 6 years, the dunk. There was a time where the dunk contest was like nobody was like really watching, but I think now.
It's gotten a lot better. That's what I wanted to talk to you about first and foremost. Because you're right. Yeah, lately, like what Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon did a couple of years ago, that was crazy.
Yeah.
That's for sure. But the thing is, I was kind of disappointed at the lineup this year. Mm-hmm. Have you seen the lineup this year?
I've seen Aaron Gordon just dropped out. I read that somewhere today.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm reading this today that they're expecting Donovan Mitchell to replace Gordon. I thought Donovan Mitchell was supposed to be in the first place. Mm-hmm. And Oladipo's coming back. Mm-hmm. And then there's Larry Nance Jr.
Yeah, and I think Dennis Smith Jr.
And Dennis Smith Jr.
Yeah.
When we were predicting, and I had all rookies in it. I had all rookies. I had Dennis Smith, Donovan Mitchell, and then I had John Collins, the kid from Atlanta in it. Mm-hmm. And I thought Ferguson, the kid from OKC, he could be in it too.
Yeah, I thought he would be in it.
So I had all rookies in it. I don't know why would Oladipo want to go back. I remember he was in it like 3-4 years ago when he was with the Magic. Yeah. I mean, Larry Nance Jr., I consider him like a game dunker. I don't see him really, doing really well in the dunk contest.
He jumps really high.
Yeah, he does.
But he's a big guy as well, so I think he is some. I mean, his father was like a power dunker, so I think he wants to kind of be like
his dad did win the dunk
exactly
contest.
So maybe that's why he wants to do it, just kind of like the whole legacy thing, like his father or something
NBA's big on that. They can't say no to that, I guess. And he was supposed to be in last year and he was hurt.
Yeah, so I think that's why.
Dennis Smith, I'm fine with him.
I
got crazy hops. Yeah, I think.
I think I would go either Dennis Smith Jr. or Donovan Mitchell, because Donovan Mitchell, some of the stuff that he's been doing has been crazy.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, and it's usually guys that win it are guys that are like from like. I shouldn't say smaller. Yeah, I would say smaller market teams because people don't necessarily see them play all the time.
Yeah.
So like Zach LaVine was at Minnesota at the time. Aaron Gordon was in Orlando. So they weren't like on popular teams. So I mean the fact that he's played on Utah, I feel like people are going to be kind of captivated by him. Yeah. So I feel like people are going to be excited to see some of the things he does.
Yeah. We also mentioned like that you don't really see like big really A type stars in the contest.
Yeah. Not anymore.
Even though this year, you could say Oladipo, he's in the game.
Yeah.
He's an all-star. Yeah. So you could say there's one star in it this year. Last time he was in, he was not a star. Mm-hmm. Definitely not. But you definitely don't see guys like Mike and Dominic anymore. Top five players.
Yeah, like Drexler.
Westbrook is not getting into it. No, LeBron.
Yeah.
There was one time that he promised he would, but he didn't.
I always thought that it was interesting that LeBron has never been in the dunk contest. I always thought that he would want to be in it just because of the legacy of Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant and all these Julius or all these guys that have won it. And, that's something that he doesn't have on his resume. But
yeah, he definitely could have done it once or twice.
Yeah.
Did you do a lot of dunk contests in your time?
When I was in high school, I did. I used to do a few of my signature dunks. I would throw it off the shot clock and then try to dunk the ball. Back this is like 10, 12 years ago when people weren't doing that. So
you went off the shot clock, but then what did you do? Just reverse it?
Either reverse it or off the shot clock, two hands off the shot clock, try to 360, something like that. Something simple. When I was in my younger, springier days, younger, more explosive days.
Did you win any?
No, I never won any. I always like that. I always had like maybe like one or two dunks and that was it. I'm not like a 4, 5, 6 dunk package guy. I don't have a whole lot of. I got one or two dunks to get me like in the next round and then that's it.
Yeah, you're more of an in-game dunker I guess.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the skills contest, I won't get into the skills contest. We've had a few replacements, a few guys get hurt.
Yeah.
LeBron team, they lost Boogie. He was replaced with Paul George. And then they lost who else? Kevin Love, who was replaced with Andre Drummond, I think.
I think Drummond. No, yeah, Andre Drummond.
Yeah, Dragic and Drummond got in.
Yeah.
And Paul George got in, but Lou Williams still didn't. And a lot of people feel he needs to.
I think it's just because he's not a big name player, and then also because he plays on the Clippers. I think that's why he didn't get in. If he played like for a bigger name team or something like that, I think he would have got in.
Yeah, probably. Anyway, a couple more questions, then we go. First of all, we touched on that last time. On your sneaker deal, I had a question. Yeah, are you allowed to wear J's? Because I see you with J's on, and I see you, and I saw you IG post with a new baby, Justin, Jordan. Right?
Yeah, Justin.
Justin.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, congrats.
Thank you.
The post was Jordan, I'm interested in what does Adidas think about that?
I mean,
nothing.
No, contractually, I just have to wear the sneakers on the court.
That's it.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I'm, you know, as long as I'm under contract, I'm definitely Team Adidas.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, I still, you know, have a secret love for my J's and my Jordans and stuff like that.
So nobody, no representatives contact you in that case, like,
nah.
Kyle, what's up with that IG post?
No, not at all.
Nothing like that.
And I'm just like, I'm not like Kanye West or James Harden or something like that. That's like a big time, you know, prominent athlete for them. So
you have been a Jordan head.
Oh yeah, man. I'm a sneakerhead. Period. I have tons and tons of Jordans. My wife is cussing me out all the time, you know, because I order Jordans and have boxes and boxes of Jordans sent at home, and you know she's always getting mad at me because there's nowhere else left to put them. So I try to find places to put, you know, kind of hide my sneaker collection. So.
Gotcha. But now that you with the Adidas, do you get into Yeezys as well and stuff like that?
I mean,
do you get like
they don't make Yeezys for. I mean, well, it's difficult to get Yeezys in a size 16.
Uh-huh.
And Yeezys, especially under the Adidas model, Yeezys are like the golden shoe. Uh-huh. So for you to get like Adidas, I mean, for you to get Yeezys under like a Adidas contract just for like free, you got to have like, you know, the sign off from like 4 or 5 different people. So it's like, you know, this type of thing, like you have to have like actually know somebody, know a plug. Mm. But for me, most of the time, like I have, you know, a lot of the Boosts and the NH Boosts and different other like collaborative stuff that they do that I like. But I mean, I think Adidas is dope. I think they're one of the, I think to me, they're probably the best brand out right now for sneakers. I'm not just saying that because I wear them, but I think just
they've been doing big things, I agree.
Their style is, and I mean, they have a lot of different, you know, a lot of different shoes and a lot of different styles I think are really cool. And they've been really creative, you know, with the Pharrell and Pusha T and all these different, like, different, you know, artists that have kind of these different shoes. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, these would be guy like good looking out, Kyle.
Yeah.
Now you're talking.
Yeah, exactly. The plug.
Hey, one last question. Your oldest, your daughter.
Yeah.
Her name is Anya.
Anya, yeah.
Can you tell me about that? Why, like, were you inspired by? How? What was the idea? What was behind it? Behind the idea too.
We wanted to kind of give her a Russian name. Because, you know, my wife spent majority of her pregnancy here in Russia, and we were like, well, my daughter's gonna spend majority of her time here in Russia, you know, her early childhood. So we wanted to kind of give her some type of significance to the name so she can kind of like have almost like a story behind it, you know, as she gets older. So we chose Anya. You know, we really liked the name. And then also my wife, she liked the name. because not only because of the Russian thing, she watches like America's Next Top Model or something like that, and one of the models' name was Anya or something like that. So it kind of like all kind of came together. So
and it's actually legally Anya. It's not Anna, right?
No, it's Anya.
Anya with a Y and
A. Yeah, N A Y A. Yeah,
it's our Anya. Wonderful colleague Sound Girl. By the way, she's Anya. She does a wonderful job here.
Exactly. So I mean, we
her namesake.
Yeah, so we've heard so many, you know, so many, like, that was the name that we heard, and it's like, you know, I guess it's a popular name here, you know, in Russia, so we were like, it's a beautiful name. And then also, my wife's name is Gianna, so we're like, we kind of, so like, added it. And then my sister's name is Tatiana, so it kind of, like, you know, has, like, the Anya.
A whole Russian heritage.
Yeah, exactly, man. It's just feel like I, you know, feel like I belong here.
Very great. Kyle, thanks again.
Oh, thank you, man.
Coming
it's always great to be here.
Great to talk to you.
Yes, sir.
All right.